Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Through Nick and Thin. The podcast where we watch every Nicolas Cage movie in chronological order so that you don't have to. I'm your host. My name is Steve. Joining me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Hannah. Hannah, how are you? It's been a while.
It's been some time. I haven't seen you in a while, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. Healing.
Trauma?
Well, after I saw this movie. This movie was not great. We're going to get into it. Of course, you clicked on it. The movie is called Arcadian. It is Nicolas Cage does A Quiet Place, essentially. So that's going to be...
/ The Last of Us.
Sort of, yeah. I guess in a way. We'll talk about it. It's post-apocalyptic monster movie kind of thing.
It's just, yeah. I feel like it's so played out at this point.
It kind of is. Everybody, I feel like, is going for some of these types of grabs, but...
I get it. It's a fun time.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know what that says about our society, that we like films like this so much.
Wow, we're getting deep. Right in the first minute. Yeah.
Let's get uncomfortable here.
Let's get uncomfortable. I think our society likes apocalyptic movies because we're so close to an apocalypse.
Hey, we might be.
Hey, you never know.
We had an eclipse recently.
Well, and that, you know, almost ruined everybody's eyes.
Do you know how all of, like, the nocturnal animals come out during that?
They do?
They come out for, like, two... So if you are in totality, which we were not and have never been, I don't think.
In our lifetime. I've never been in totality about anything
like a,
in my
I'm like
life.
A, yeah, yeah, I'm like half of a human.
Yeah.
No, but I believe if you're in a totality, whatever region.
Yeah.
And if there's pitch black or, you know, the darkness, and the sun is being covered by the moon. For a few
minutes,
you know, the darkness part of the totality.
Uh-huh.
I'm a physicist. And anyway, all the nocturnal animals, like mostly predatory animals, which is why I know about this. Like they will all, because I'm a predatory animal. they come out during like the 2 minutes of the darkness, and you have to like keep your dog inside because like the coyotes and bats and shit will come out.
Bats?
I don't know. I learned recently there's bats in Philadelphia.
The way I'm so glad that you just said all of that, because the way you said it originally, you said, you know how nocturnal animals come out during an eclipse? And I was like, yeah, like it was the beginning of a joke. And well, they're gonna be like, just... so they walk into a bar. Bartender says, why the long face? You know, like I thought that was going to be.
No, I was trying to speak facts, but I just fumbled through them.
You spit fire. Instead, you just sort of dribbled out ashes.
Exactly.
Okay.
But yeah, so that happens. And then when it comes light again, they're like, skirt, gotta go.
Skirt.
Gotta go to bed. See you in the nighttime.
Oh, we are out of sorts here, dear listener. If you're still listening to this, God bless you. Thank you for your patronage. We are having some fun, so let's maybe get
Arcadian
into the task at hand. Arcadian. We're gonna get into this movie. Very shockingly few Nicolas Cage scenes, so we'll talk about the Nick Cage scenes, but not before I kick it over to my dear co-host Hannah, who's gonna give us some behind the scenes information, maybe fill us in a little bit about what Nicolas Cage has going on in his life in these past 6 to 8 months.
I'm going to say, we have a few movies coming up, so I'm going to save a lot of, like, just his life facts for perhaps another movie that I won't have as much information on.
Sure.
But I feel like I have enough to go off of here.
Just about the behind the scenes of the movie as opposed to what's going on in his life.
Yeah, yeah. I have a couple things about his life, but yeah, we'll stick with the behind the scenes. So Arcadian released April 2024, originally premiered at South by Southwest Festival. I think it was like March 11th. of this year, so pretty recently. Quick turnaround. I feel like sometimes we have to wait a really long time.
Like years sometimes.
Sometimes, some yeah.
Like Butcher's Crossing took years to come out in theaters.
Yeah, so I don't know who is sleeping with who, but somehow they got this movie out very quickly. It has it just released last week, so has not been in the box office very long, so I'm not going to bother with like the box office numbers at this point.
It's probably a relatively low return anyhow. Not many. Yeah. It was a limited release, and
yes, exactly.
Horror movies, you know, they have to kind of be made low budget because they don't make a lot of money typically.
Yeah, and I feel like people love horror, so I don't know.
There's a cult following for horror, you know, pun intended.
Makes sense. 6.4 out of 10 on IMDb. And
too high.
53% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think that's fair.
Fair, I guess.
I mean, it wasn't horrible. I think you're being dramatic about this one.
Yeah,
I think,
all right.
The acting was really good.
Yes, I will give it that. The acting was good.
Production began in Dublin, Ireland in November of 2022, shortly after the cast was announced. So I think they cast it and announced everybody and then immediately got to work. So 2022, it was written in 2020. I listened to an interview with the writer. He said he wrote it during COVID. So the intention behind a lot of it was isolation.
I see.
And like very few cast members and things like that, because I guess he didn't know when the movie was going to be made.
Okay. Yep. I'm just imagining, we'll discuss the monsters that are in this movie
yeah,
later.
We're going to talk about that for
but
sure.
But I'm just imagining like sitting down at your keyboard or typewriter and being like, oh yeah, these monsters are going to be what represents COVID for me.
We'll get to
it's
it.
Funny image. All right.
So the director is Benjamin Brewer. His directorial debut was the movie The Trust in 2016, which is a Nicolas Cage movie.
Hey, that was a good one too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's fine. The writer, the writer's name is Michael Nealon, and he is actually Nick Cage's agent, his manager, and his producing partner.
What?
Which got me into this internet black hole of finally trying to figure out what the heck Saturn Films is and or does. So Saturn Films, as with every Nick Cage movie we've seen in the past, that has come out in the past maybe like 15 years, I would say. There's always been, at the beginning of the movie, there's always the list of all the production companies, and Saturn Films always just like squeezes its way into there.
Oh, and it's always like the last one too, to
it's,
be like,
yeah, it's make like, it seem the like premier, it's the main one. Yeah, exactly. The big bankroller.
Yeah.
Steve, when I'm telling you, I can't find shit on Saturn Films on the internet.
They're not real, right?
It has to be a front for something. Like,
it's a front for Nicolas Cage's acting
I think it's just
career.
A front for Nicolas Cage's acting career, because you look, you know, like you Google Saturn Films, you see very little about it.
Yeah.
You see that they have a phone number, which maybe one day I'm just going to call, because I think that could be really interesting. Like, it might just be like disconnected.
Are you real?
And then it says SaturnFilms.com. So you go to that and it's a GoDaddy, like buy this domain website.
We should buy it.
Should we?
That's how, no, I mean, probably not. But that's how we could finally get in touch with Nicolas Cage.
Or we call that phone number. It could be like writer Michael Nealon, who is also his producing partner and agent.
It's probably like, just like his cell phone number.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it sounds like one guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like this is insane. And truly nothing on it, and there's no like Wikipedia article. Anytime you like click on Saturn Films, it just takes you to like Nick Cage's filmography, so it's not real.
Wow. And I think what's crazier to me is that this movie was written by Nicolas Cage's agent, right? You said he was his agent?
Yeah, during COVID he needed a pet project.
That's ridiculous to me.
When did A Quiet Place come out? Pre-COVID?
It was pre-COVID.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
the second one came out, I think, around COVID.
So he was inspired.
Yeah, pretty we'll clearly, say. Pretty obviously.
So other than Saturn Films, the main production company was RLJ Entertainment Production Company. They're a real production company. They've actually produced a lot of Nick Cage's movies. Mandy, Color Out of Space, Dog Eat Dog, Pay the Ghost, which you love.
Oh, God.
Prisoners of the Ghostland, and Sympathy for the Devil.
Wow, that just got worse and worse and worse until Sympathy for the Devil, which was like kind of fun. It was weird, but fun. Yeah, I was thinking earlier about what is your favorite Nicolas Cage horror movie.
Mandy.
Mandy is up there for me. Color Out of Space as well.
I didn't like that one. I know you always look at it with, and no pun intended, like rose-colored glasses. I don't think that we enjoyed it at the time.
I don't recall. I do have rose-colored glasses. Pay the Ghost was bad.
Actually, I'm going to go Pay the Ghost. I think I had the most fun watching Pay the Ghost.
It was so bad. It wasn't
Mandy was genuinely scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Mom and Dad was fun, oh, but I don't think that was not like
a horror.
Yeah, it's not real horror.
It's a comedy.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about Mom and Dad. No, yeah. Mandy. Mandy's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not like a horror fan
not
by
a
any
girly.
Means.
Yeah.
Horror girly.
Horror.
Horror. I think every time we have a podcast and I have to say that word, I struggle with it. We found my Achilles heel.
She's got one. After years of searching, we finally found it.
And apparently trying to explain the eclipse.
She thinks horror and horror are synonyms. Or synonyms? No.
Homonyms.
Homonyms. We found my Achilles heel. I don't know the difference between synonyms
it's just,
and homonyms.
Yeah, grammar.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the editing.
Please.
So I read an article from the editor. They said that they used a lot of Adobe products. When we get to more about the editing, I will let you know what product I think they used.
Okay.
The director talked a lot about just like how budget constraints a lot of times with like actual shooting and principal photography can impact everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So then you can save money on visual effects is what he said. Which I think is kind of the detriment of this.
They definitely saved money on visual
effects. He just said he was like doing it on his laptop. And then this person said they used Adobe. Like I said, I think they used something else. I will let you know what it is when we get to it. Apparently, though, they had the same executive for the visual effects that worked on Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah. I mean, that's like incorrect. I mean, it's probably correct.
He's not going to lie about that.
But the person who worked on Everything Everywhere All at Once
was amazing.
Was amazing. And then the person who worked on this
was horrible.
If it's the same person, then it's like he tried to bang it out in a hungover afternoon or something.
Well, budget constraints also, and what I assume to be the program on their computer that they used. That I
you're really
you know.
Laying this up. You're really teasing this. Okay, can't wait.
Yeah, I know a lot about film editing and stuff like that.
Well, because of all of your years in film editing.
Yeah, that's what I majored in college.
That's why we're so good at this.
Profound and
offering you the real deep insights.
I'll talk a little bit about the cast. So, Steve, did you talk about much about the plot yet? Did you mention that there are two that he has two sons?
I did not.
Okay. He has two sons.
Spoilers. How could you spoil the movie like that? They're on the poster.
Apparently
they're on the poster. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Apparently they're twins. Did not pick up on that.
Yeah, you were like, one's a toddler. In the beginning, one's a toddler and one's an infant. I was like, no, it's two toddlers. Or I'm sorry, two infants.
Were they his or did he just find them?
Good question.
We'll get to it.
No
anyway.
No clue. No clue.
There's a lot of questions that were unanswered. Oh, so I watched an interview with both of the men who played his sons, who were great. I thought they did a great job.
They were really good.
And as like most people who have worked with Nicolas Cage in his career, they had nothing but amazing things to say about him. And of course they did. Like they're just young actors. Like what are they going
to
like shit talk Nick Cage?
While
ruin their
right
career.
Next to him, right?
Yeah. Well, there was one that I watched without, I just read one without him. And then I watched one of the kids was next to Nick, but they basically said that like working with Nick is really a collaborative process. He's so prepared. He comes to set with some amazing personal ideas and the most energy that you could possibly imagine. He talked with them about every single scene they did together before they shot it.
Wow.
And they said like he could have made it really rigid and self-serving because he is who he is.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, he was a super collaborative partner, which
That's
was really
nice.
Cool. And then when asked, hey, I want to work with Nick Cage, how much does it cost? To like, what did you pay to be in this movie or something? Like, that's I don't know if you overheard that.
Yeah, that was a super weird question.
Yeah. And the kids were both like, oh, they were like priceless, which I thought was fun.
No, it's stupid.
All right. So, this is unfounded And I couldn't find much more about it.
Huh.
But in some of my research, I found a little tidbit that said that in preparation for this role, Nicolas Cage isolated himself and his family for 3 months.
Well.
But like, well, doesn't like, he do that already?
Yeah. Also like. Oh, I. Okay. Right.
November. Okay. So it said November.
This was filmed during COVID. But it November
2022. Like. I'd have to go back. I'm sure he was filming other things during that. Like,
yeah, for sure.
He didn't have a 3 month break to be able to just go into the wilderness.
He's not the kind of actor that goes, hey, I've got this role coming up in like 6 months. So in order to prepare, I'm going to isolate myself and my family for 3 months and not work. Like, I don't see that.
I do see that for him in, not in practice though.
Right.
I see that for him. Like, that's idealistic for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, and like the family in the movie lives off the land. And so that's what I feel like he should be capturing. But I can't imagine he and like his family lives off the land.
And it wasn't really about isolation. And like the word Arcadian itself is just a person who lives a simple and quiet life. That is the definition of what an Arcadian is.
Okay.
Not a, I don't know, like
a Hollywood actor.
Well, not a Hollywood actor, but also, but it's simple and quiet, not isolated.
Right, right, right. Yeah. I don't see him living a simple and quiet life.
But I think that he could have prepared for this by trying to live a more simple and quiet life. I don't think he needed to isolate himself is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
In the actually, I'll get to it when we get to the opening scene. Mm. When they were talking about the budget constraints, he spoke up and he said, I there was like, I'm kind of just picking and choosing a little bit of, this is kind of clickbait of me, but bear with me. When talking about budget constraints, Nick said, well, when you have less money, you have to be more inventive, and then he said a lot more, but I kind of just, I wanted to pause there. And if you think about that, and his career. I don't really know how inventive he was when he didn't have a lot of money. I would argue that he was the opposite.
Okay.
He kind of just took whatever was given to him.
However, he took whatever was given to him and made these like crazy weird characters out of nothing. Actually, okay. No, he didn't. He phoned it in for many. Yeah, he did. He really did. He stood on his ex and said his lines. Never mind. I retract my earlier statement.
I think some of them, yes. Some of them, he was very inventive.
Sure, but I don't know if the timing works out. We'd have to go back.
No, I think when he had no money, he just, he was just doing whatever he could.
Yeah.
Now he's being more creative.
I would say so, except for those like 3 Western movies he did in a row that were really boring. Everything else has been kind of cool and interesting.
He has more financial freedom now at this point. So.
Yeah.
Okay, he was asked about there's been some rumors about a Spider-Man noir animated series, I guess.
Yeah, his character from the Spider-Verse movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he said it's in talks. He said that he really likes a mashup performance. So what he sees that as is the old Hollywood type of style that he likes to emulate mixed with Stan Lee's like most infamous character. Something else he said about mashup performances is that this movie, he said his 2 favorite genres are, and I'm direct quote here, verbatim, independently spirited family dramas and sci-fi horror movies. And he put the emphasis on sci-fi.
And not modern and kabuki.
Not modern or kabuki.
Is traditionally
spirited, independent, and family, because that's probably 3 words that he would use to describe himself.
Probably in that order, too.
Spirited, independent, and family. He is family. All right, before we end, Steve, this is about apocalyptic happenings.
Sure.
If you knew that there was an apocalypse coming, what type of snack would you try to stock up on?
Gummy worms.
Okay. Nick was asked the same question. And he said that he would try to stock up on canned lentils because they're high in protein. And if you add pesto to it, it could be life-sustaining and fortifying.
That's not a snack.
It's not a snack.
It's not. He completely whiffed the.
He also suggested that he would have to have pesto. So it's not just one snack. He chose a full meal. He was like, oh, it's vegan and high in protein. And
the purpose of the question is to be like, what snack can you not live without? Like, oh, yeah, you're on like, a deserted island. What would be one snack
Cheetos,
you would take with you?
Like, just be a person.
Like, oh, man, I'm a sucker for a good chocolate chip cookie.
Canned lentils. Canned.
Yeah. I mean,
not dried.
And we're talking about snacks here, not like, you know, a decadent dessert, for example. That's maybe where you would have a canned vegetable. Hannah likes to eat canned baby corn for dessert. Dessert.
Why are you calling me out like that? Not dessert, just like an after dinner treat.
That's, yep. You and Nicolas Cage, you're not so different, the two
Steve,
of you.
Steve, leave me alone. Canned lentils. Anyway, do the plot.
So let's dive into this movie, Nick Cage scene by Nick Cage scene. And honestly, there aren't a lot. However, I do want to start with, we did see this movie in theaters. And one of the things that I like to do when we see the movie in theaters is just jot down whatever trailers were in front of it. So there were a couple trailers, a new Alien movie, this movie Boy Kills World, which has gotten a lot of publicity, The Fall Guy, etc., a lot of other horror movies. But then there was one trailer that came up, and Hannah looks at me during this trailer and just kind of like rolls her eyes, because the whole thing is just sort of weird imagery just being flashed. It's imagery, 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 and you can hear somebody breathing over the top, just like, oh no, oh God, oh no. Oh God. And Hannah's just like, this is like, looks like the stupidest movie, the kind of look you give to anybody when you're watching any trailer in a movie theater. And then the title card comes up and it says Long Legs, July 12th, 2024. And I go, oh Han, that's a Nick Cage movie. So
that was Nick Cage breathing.
Oh God.
Because
oh,
of course it was.
And I was like, it kind of sounds like Nick Cage, but anyhow.
I think it said he's in the basement. I don't know. We'll get to it.
Yeah, there were like signs like he's don't go downstairs or something really weird like that. So anyhow, the movie starts out with what is likely Nicolas Cage's body double doing a one-er and running. Running and running and running in what appears to be the end of the world. And so we know from the poster that most of the movie takes place when he has teenage boys, but he runs and runs and runs and he's ransacking all these places. He's gathering materials to run home to his infant boys. And one of the notes that I have is that it's clearly taking place in the past, but his chin isn't really doing him any favors. It's like, has 15 years really gone by? You look the exact same.
Do you think he's going to get a chin implant?
A chin implant? No. If anything, he'll like get the little loose skin like surgically
altered. Oh, like a neck
altered.
Lift yeah. or whatever?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You said that it was a body double?
That would be my guess.
Confirmed it was Nick Cage.
Confirmed how? Were you in Dublin while they were filming this?
No, but there was an interview that I watched with the director and Nick, and the director was very complimentary and said that Nick was a real good sport and he ran a mile for this like three times.
I find it hard to believe. Yeah. But he would go all out. He would put his body on the line for the play, but like
I'm trying to
it was
like
it
I've
was
never
the back
seen
of his
him...
head for most of it.
It was one take.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't remember if there was any place where
there was
no
cuts.
Obviously hide cuts. But like sometimes you can hide the cuts.
Well, as a professional editor.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You can't do that.
I thought you were
actually
a physicist.
No, I'm both.
You're both. Get you a girl who could do both.
You can't hide cuts, actually. So you're wrong.
Okay. And that's coming from a physicist. So the
astrologist.
The movie flashes forward a few years. Nick Cage is outside of his home and he sees one of his teenage sons, and now we'll refer to the teenage sons.
He picks up babies.
I mentioned that earlier. I said that earlier.
Oh.
He runs back to his babies. He's got babies.
But
two babies.
Okay. Do you think that he just stumbled upon them? Or
oh,
do you
yeah,
think
okay,
he
we
hid
didn't
them there?
I don't know. I, like, because why would you just, like, One, how do you just find two babies?
It's and the apocalypse.
Two, if it's the apocalypse or the beginning of the apocalypse, why would you leave two babies?
They didn't explain anything.
They don't.
Okay, what would your hypothesis be if you, like, reading between the lines? Did he say he would meet his wife at this location and then she died or something, but she was able to, like, get the babies to be safe and that's why he was running towards it to, like, meet them so they could, like, exit the city?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
I think you may have nailed it. But, yeah, I mean, it's not explained at all. It's not, like, a major... Not that it has to be explained.
No, it doesn't. But my immediate thought was he stumbled upon these children.
In like a warehouse.
And was like, oh, okay, I'm going to take them in.
Yeah.
And they weren't his own. Like, they're not his blood relatives. That was my, like, when I was watching it, I also thought that one was an infant and one was a toddler.
So. Well, the toddler was playing younger. I'm four, but really I can play like 3 months.
Yeah, it's on his resume. Yeah. I don't know.
Headshot. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. I think it's probably that the mother somehow sacrificed herself for the children. But so we flash forward to modern day, I guess you could say. And this is where we get our first real scream from Nicolas Cage. He yells, "You're late!" to one of his sons who was running home from apparently a neighboring farm. Now, he has two sons, and we will describe them as the nerd son and the jock son. And so the jock son was the one who spends all of his time at a neighboring farm. We'll find out later because there's a teenage girl there who I think they have great on-screen chemistry. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the boys were great actors, and the girl was good, too.
And the girl was, too. So he's, like, pissed about his son being late. He's pissed about his son. Like, you can't cross the boundary at that time because otherwise... It's going to be bad. And so the scene continues at the house where we see Nicolas Cage and the two sons. They lock up and they board up the entire house. They go inside for dinner and they talk over dinner. And we learn a little bit about what's going on in the world. And basically, monsters come out at night and they try and break into the house. And that's, in fact, actually what happens after I missed a scream. While they're at dinner, the boys are fighting with one another, and Nick Cage yells, hey, stop! Because the boys are fighting, as brothers do.
Yep.
So, as they're fighting, what happens? Oh my gosh. Bang on the door. What is that? Oh no, it's after nightfall. It has to be a monster. Nick Cage, come down and help me, jock son. Help me hold the door back. Nerd son, why are you just standing there? And the nerd son's like, I'm taking notes. I'm trying to learn about the aliens or monsters or whatever the fuck they are.
Mm-hmm.
And
a quiet place.
It's a quiet place. It's a quiet place. Because they also have to be quiet to not alert the monsters that they're actually in there. The next day, they make it through the night. The next day, Nicolas Cage starts taking the door apart because there's all these claw marks on the door. And there's like...
Maggots or something?
It's like roaches. Like roaches under the door.
They never explain that.
No. We'll get to part of that in a minute.
I don't...
But so I was like, why are there bugs under the door? And the next scene that we see with Nick Cage, I only included because there's a scream in it, but he's out in the fields with his sons, and they're digging something, and he just points at the ground after they're digging and goes, there it is! Let's get it! And I forget what it was, like a boulder or like a log maybe to repair the door?
Perhaps.
I was like, what are they digging for?
Wood.
So the next time we see Nick Cage is he's having a heart-to-heart with his nerd son in like the shed, where the nerd son has all these beautiful drawings and schematics. He's like a modern-day Da Vinci for what like his inventions that he's got cooking in these drawings on the walls. And the son has seemingly built a tractor or like a quad out of nothing. And Nick Cage comes in and goes like, huh, did you try switching the spark plug to the other side, to the transmission? And it's like, oh no, I didn't. Oh my gosh, you're such a genius, dad. He's like, yeah. It's like, how have you not checked on the shed? Like, because Nick Cage walks in and is like, he was like, wow, you built this? Like, it must have taken him a year.
He must have done it in a day.
There's Steve. No, you can't build a quad in a day.
Hey, you're underestimating the nerd.
I guess I am. So Nick Cage says something to the effects of, like, we don't know if it was aliens or what happened, but I believe some hero is going to come over the hill one day and save us all. And then takes a puff of a cigar and walks away. And so we're like...
Oh, didn't they say that it was something about pollution? That was something I wanted to whisper to you in the theater.
Yeah. So after they get the car, you know, working, and Nick Cage has kind of a cute scene where he's teaching the kids how to drive, essentially. He's like, the pedal, the gas is on the right, the stop is on the left. After Break. That, listen, I don't know. They've never heard these words before. They've grown up in the apocalypse, which from the first scene in the movie, we know that Nick Cage saw what we believe to be the beginning of the apocalypse.
Right.
But he doesn't know what happened, or he won't say.
Not to us.
Not to the audience, that's for sure. So
I don't know shit.
So while Nick Cage is sitting by what I think to be a very CGI waterfall and puffing a cigar, he sends his kids out to go scavenge.
Oh, that was so picturesque.
Yeah, but I think the waterfall was very fake.
I don't know why there were like nothing else in that area.
It's kind of
would. Like, suggest that there could be a waterfall.
It's kind of no. It's fairly flat where they were. But it's kind of like that scene in A Quiet Place where John Krasinski can finally talk to his kids because they're near a waterfall because the sound is drowned out. Yeah. It's like that's the whole reason that was in the movie.
That's because, probably so the writer was like, oh, waterfalls have to be in these apocalypse movies.
We gotta put a waterfall in there, otherwise people won't be able to distinguish.
They
this.
Won't be able to know it's an apocalypse movie. Yeah. Ain't no apocalypse movie without a waterfall.
So while he's sitting by the waterfall just smoking a cigar, stogieing it up.
But pollution.
Yeah, well, I'm getting to
it. Oh, okay.
So the kids have to go scavenge, but they end up separating from one another. They're supposed to stay together, but they separate. The jock kid goes to the neighboring farm to go spend time with the girl. And when he spends time with the girl, we're like, oh, here we go. Here's the exposition. Here's what happened to the world. Because the girl says, let's play a game where we both explain the apocalypse in 10 seconds or less, go, right? And she says, so the bugs came and there was because of pollution and then the robots take over and here we are. And I was like, robots? I didn't know it was a robot movie. And I was like, oh, or maybe mutant bugs. Okay, crazy. That's why there are bugs under the door.
Yep.
And then she goes, okay, your turn. And the jock son goes, well, you know, there were werewolves and now there's mutant werewolves all over the world and the wolves have taken over. And I was like, wolves? Are there bugs, wolves, robots?
And robots?
All three?
And pollution?
And pollution? What is happening? And he's like, there was a virus or something. So what we learned from that is that nobody knows how the apocalypse started, I suppose. Or how the monsters invaded. I don't know.
Do they have electricity?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if they both do or not, both farms that we see, both Nick Cage's and the neighbors. But they do have like old timey light bulbs essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, it starts to become sundown and the nerd son has finished his salvaging. And he's going to meet up with the jock son, but the jock son is there because the jock son slipped and fell into a cave, hit his head. Gets knocked out, sun's coming down, monsters are coming out, Nick Cage, all upset, doesn't know where his son is, and he decides he's going to arm himself to the teeth with whatever he's got and go out look for his son.
Send the nerd son home.
Nerd son, you protect the house, you
Lock
know what
up.
You're doing.
Yep.
Nerd son's no problem, Dad. Nick Cage.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Back to the pollution. Wouldn't you think that if there was an apocalypse because of pollution, that you wouldn't smoke a cigarette anymore?
Right. Well, there was a moment where he was like smoking a cigar and he's like, the air is getting cleaner.
like no thanks to you.
I guess the air is cleaner, whatever, because there's like 12 people left in the world, but he's still out here. I don't know where he got a cigar. I guess he's growing tobacco on his farm.
Oh yeah. He may have like rolled it himself.
That's insane.
He's an Arcadian.
He's an Arcadian.
Solitude life.
He's an Arcadian. So Nick Cage goes out. The sun is officially down. He's going to look for his son, and he finds in the cave, he finds his son, and he goes, Thomas, are you down there? How'd you get down there? I'll find a way in. And Thomas is down there, and this is the first time we get a look at one of these monsters, but it's very brief. We don't really get to see it. And what we don't really see much of anything.
I'm so curious how what words in the English language you're going to be able to put together to explain what these things look like.
Well, we don't really get a good look at them yet. Honestly, at this point, when I see them, I was like, oh, like it's a zombie thing because we see hands, but it's really just some like PA wearing gloves.
Someone wearing
like winter, like leather winter gloves. And I was like, oh, it's just like some dude's hands. I was like, oh, okay. So they're mutant humans of some kind. And you kind of see a face and you're like, okay, it's a mutant human of some kind. But you don't really get to see it. So Nick Cage is in this cave and they're like, all right, he's like, all right, we have to stay here until dawn. We have to board ourselves into this cave. And what happens as they're in the cave, but the monsters start digging up from underneath them. So now it's like, oh, we have no way to get out. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Nick Cage even screams, stand back against the wall. Stay back. Go back. Because what he's going to do is he's going to blow them up. He has a stick of dynamite on him or something. And he sticks the stick of dynamite into the hole they're crawling up through and boom, they blow up.
But Nick Cage also blows up.
Nick Cage also blows up. It's Don, nerd son, who spent the night at home, trapped one of the spookies.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. Oh, also nerd son was in the It movie.
Oh, was he? I thought he looked familiar.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was also in that, remember? There was this limited series on Apple TV with Chris Evans defending Jacob. He was Jacob.
He was the one who like
needed to be defended.
He killed someone or something.
I don't remember the plot.
Yeah,
that's him. That's this kid.
Oh, Jacob. Okay. Yeah. So anyhow, Jacob captured one of the spookies. Defending Jacob, nerd son, captured one of the spookies and finds Jock son and a now passed out Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, he's not dead. He blew himself up, but he alive.
Yeah, he's alive. He's hanging on by a thread. He's in a coma of some sort. So they make it, and the nerd son is now like performing an autopsy on the fucking spooky that he captured.
Yeah.
And the jock son is like, we have to take dad to the neighboring farm because they'll help us. And at this point, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Because not the neighboring farm isn't just like a family.
It's like a compound.
It's a mother, a son, a daughter. Or I'm sorry. It's a mother, a father, a daughter. And like five farmhands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. And he's like, they have more equipment. They have better medicine. And the nerd son defending Jacob's like, yeah, we can't take them there because they won't help us. Why?
No exposition. Like, there's just so many plot holes.
Yeah.
There's not enough. Sometimes there's too much exposition in these movies.
Yeah.
This one had not enough.
No. So they end up taking Nick Cage in the back of their quad tractor thing to the neighboring farm. And they're like, please, can you help us? And the mother is just standing there. And she's like, no, can't. Just can't do it. We don't have enough stuff.
They said, we need medicine.
They're like, we need medicine. And everyone collectively in the audience went, what kind? The coma curing kind? You just have that in a closet somewhere? So
just general medicine.
So there's absolutely no reason that the family doesn't help.
But no, also similarly, like with the speculation of why Nick Cage has these boys.
Yeah, it's like,
I assumed,
are they his?
Yeah, so like with this scenario, my assumption is maybe like a few years ago or when they first moved there.
Right.
They, like Nick Cage had some beef with like the...
Beef? You think beef is an accurate description
I do.
Of
what
I
have
with
your
father?
What movie?
Oh, I don't know. It's Benjamin Bratt. It's one of those old ones. It's something generic. It's called like Revenge or something.
Vengeance, a love
story. No, it's not Vengeance, a love story. That movie was bad. Anyhow. But yeah,
beef.
So you think they have some beef.
Beef.
Some pre-existing beef.
Pre-existing
beef. That they just didn't tell us about.
Yeah.
Which I guess would make sense. Like, but again, you could use a one line to throw away. Like, hey, Dad, sorry I was at the neighbor's farm again. I know you don't really get along with them. And the dad could be like, no, it's okay. We've had issues in the past, but as long as you're happy
yeah,
and they're
like
happy.
They stole my cow.
Like,
I don't know.
They stole my cow. But
oh, he is a dog, by the way. The dog survived the apocalypse.
Oh, yes. And the dog survives the movie as well. It's sort of a weird...
Why are you spoiling?
Well, we'll talk about... remind me if I forget to talk about what happened with the dog at the end. Because that was weird.
It bothered you. You spoke it out loud.
It bothered me so bad. Anyhow, we'll talk about that in a minute. Because what happens next is the neighboring family said, no, we can't take in your dad who's in a coma, but we'll take the jock's son. We'll take you if you want to stay. And the jock's son's like, sure.
Do you think that they did that because they knew that the teenage girl liked him and they needed like a potential suitor in the future for her so they can continue like
maybe
making society children. Like
yeah
grow
maybe
I'm grasping at nothing here.
I know, well, but you have to. So
and I
weird.
Don't want them to spoon feed it to me.
No,
but I want something.
Right. right. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy how a Quiet Place can do it so well and this doesn't. But
yeah.
Anyhow, so the jock son stays behind. And as it starts to become nightfall, maybe almost sundown, jock son decides...
Oh, he stays at the other farm.
He stays behind at the other farm. Jock son decides, I'm going to go raid their medicine cabinet and get medicine for my father.
General medicine.
And he goes into the kitchen and opens up like a cupboard. And the daughter, his like love interest, comes in and goes, like, what are you doing? You're not going to find it there. She opens up a cookie jar and grabs a small pill bottle and like underhand tosses it to him. No label.
No, just medicine.
No, oh, it's in the locked cabinet and over it's like, here. Let me
or
look.
Take two with
like,
water.
Take two of these and call me in the morning. It's very important. You can't be in a coma when you take these.
Just like crush it up and
put it in his ice cream.
Have him snort it. Like, I don't know. Like, just no instruction.
I was like, these could be Flintstones gummy vitamins for all we know.
They probably were.
These could be like a diuretic or a laxative or something for all we know. Like, it's the coma curing kind of medicine. Apparently. So as the son tries to make his escape with stolen medicine, he gets captured and
well, it wasn't stolen. She did give it to him.
Sure. Whatever.
That was his rationale.
Sure. Whatever. But it is now nightfall, and right as he's about to get punished for stealing the medicine, borrowing, giving, being lent the medicine, what have you, the monsters start invading and attacking this neighboring farm, and everybody's going crazy, and it's, oh my God, oh, it's pandemonium. The house lights on fire. And I guess here's as good a place as any to talk about these spookies, these monsters. Because there's a bunch of them. It's not a monster movie. It's several monsters in this movie. And they're all of the same brand, I suppose.
Yeah, way more than A Quiet Place had. I think A Quiet Place, like, you only saw, like, two or three at a time. But this, like, you saw, like, 10 at a time.
You saw 10 at a time. Because they did that thing that acrobats do, where they grab each other's ankles and make a big spinning wheel. You heard that right. You know, like how you get maybe 10 acrobats together.
And you know how you do that.
You know how you do. And you know, like a casual Friday night, you get your acrobats together. And they all grab each other's ankles so that they form a big wheel. And they roll down the middle of the circus or whatever they're in. That's what these monsters do. Not people. The monsters do it.
We were dying laughing.
We're dying laughing. And they're also like kind of monkey-like. And I was like, but they have fur. So I was like, oh, so is it werewolves? And I was like, no, they don't look like werewolves. They're kind of monkey-like. And there was a scene earlier I glossed over because Nick Cage wasn't in it. But they have these like extendo fingers. Like, the finger can grow to be, like,
it's like
20 times in length. It's like E.T. or, like, a Pinocchio nose coming out of his finger.
Oh, my God. So, you know how I said that I speculated what type of software they used for editing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I can't believe I forgot about that.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this a while. And, like I said, I've used a lot of these types of softwares before, so I feel like I should know. Uh-huh. It's Microsoft Paint is what they
It's Microsoft Paint.
That's all they use for this.
But like,
someone drew that on Microsoft Paint and they just scribbled.
I think we need to talk about the Snuffleupagus in the room. And I say Snuffleupagus because these monsters are basically they're Muppets.
But they're CGI. They're not puppets.
Right. But not in so far as like, oh, they're CGI'd poorly or what have you. They were CGI'd fine.
No, like they were CGI'd as Muppets.
They were CGI'd as Muppets because as they go to start attacking people in this neighboring farm.
Prior to attacking, like to rev up the attack.
Yeah.
Is how we describe it.
Yeah. It's like an alligator mascot going nom 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 nom. Their jaws open like crazy wide. It's literally like taking your two hands and doing like an alligator motion, but keeping your wrists together and just going nom 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 nom. They don't make the nom noise. It makes like a slapping noise, but still. And that's not them eating someone.
No.
That's what they do before they eat someone.
But how do they actually kill someone, Steve?
Oh, they stand over top of them and then just discharge goo. And that kills them? And then they just all form a wheel and start wheeling around again. I don't understand these monsters. I don't get it. What are they? Are they bugs? Are they werewolves? Are they Muppets?
I'm unwell.
I don't get it. So anyway. The jock son and his love interest are the only two to make it out alive somehow.
I'm
green. So they get out. They make it back to their house where nerd son is there dragging Nicolas Cage, his father, back through the house. And they're like, they all meet up and they're like, here, I got the medicine for you. And it's like, oh my God, thank God. And they give him the medicine.
The elusive
and he's suddenly
medicine.
Like, oh, he's like, oh, my love again. But he's like, Nick Cage, the nerd son is saying they're gonna come after us again tonight. They're climbing up through the floors. There are holes in their living room. He's like, they're gonna come up through the floors. What do we do? And he's like, I have a plan. And the nerd son's plan is
Nick says one word, right?
Well, hold on.
I'm sorry.
The nerd son's plan is to just put gasoline everywhere.
Well, and also pile a bunch of shit on top of itself.
The holes. Yeah. And put gasoline everywhere, light it on fire so that it explodes, but they can't just like leave the house because then the monsters will get them if they're outside. So what they have to do to protect themselves from the explosion is they all have to cram inside of a refrigerator. What? This is the same kid who had sophisticated drawings.
Yep.
He was able to trap one of these spookies, like in a sophisticated manner. He built a tractor out of scraps.
Suffocate?
Yes, you would. Especially if you crammed presumably four people. He wanted to get four people, a fully grown man, two teenage boys, and a teenage girl. Into one, like, side
this
freezer.
This is a Jack and Rose door situation.
It's like an anti-Jack and Rose door situation, because they both could have fit. In this situation, nobody could fit. I don't even think one of them could fit. I don't know how they got three
of
them.
No, they did prove recently that if Jack got on the
Because
the
of
wood.
The material the door's made out
exactly.
of.
Exactly. It would have sank.
The buoyancy wouldn't have worked. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so buoyant.
So buoyancy. The Mythbusters did it a long time ago. I'm rewatching the Mythbusters. It's been fun. Anyhow, so Nick Cage is recovering as they're putting this whole plan together. And they're like, oh my God, Dad, you're awake. What should we do? And Nick Cage looks at them and he just goes, fight. Fight.
I'm just dying
breath.
And
they're like, okay, Dad, we will. Like, he's about to be dead. He took one of these magic pills and he's about
to be dead. This man is on his deathbed.
The spookies are invading. They made the big wheel again. The Muppets are invading Manhattan.
The Muppets take
Arcadian. And the kids are like, what do? We don't have enough time to get into our freezer. And who comes to save the day but Nick Cage on 2 feet just starts punching these things.
I think the medicine was just adrenaline.
Do they make adrenaline in pill form? No, right?
I don't know.
Maybe it was just Adderall.
It was cocaine.
It was cocaine and a
let's
pill.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. So he's just up and the magic medicine's working and he's killing these things. And they're like, Dad, come on, get into the fucking freezer with the three of us. And he's like, no. And he sacrifices himself.
Yeah. He locks the door
behind them.
Yeah. So that he's then in the room with the Muppets.
The monster Muppets. It was a graveyard smash. So yeah, the kids, the things explode.
Yeah, they blow up the house.
The whole house gets blown up and they get blown away. They're blown to safety.
In the freezer.
So the only survivors are the three teenagers now.
Yeah.
And yes, would they have enough air? They weren't in there very long.
It did. You could see that the door was kind of like
wobbling,
stuttering.
Would that protect you from an explosion?
No, probably it wouldn't, not. Steve.
Probably not.
Thanks for asking. Because no.
So finally, it's daybreak. They're able to make their escape. The teenagers. Nicolas Cage is now dead. And they go, well, you know, we need to get to work on rebuilding the house. And the nerd kid's like, nah, I don't want to rebuild the house. I'm going to build something better. And they're like, okay. And as, oh, what? What are you going to build? Do you have enough time? Monsters come at dark. When it's dark out, there are monsters.
What are they? Do they think that they've bought themselves a few days now that they killed all the monsters in the general area? Like, they don't know that they've killed all the Muppets.
No, they don't. They don't know that they've killed all the Muppets. That got me. But so then, in an attempt to bring it all back home, the kids hop into their tractor, their quad type thing. And they start driving, and they're like, all right, off to build a better civilization.
With the girl,
the two boys and the girl. And they drive, and they're like, they want to get a nice shot of them rolling over the hill, right? Because Dublin. Nick Cage says that the heroes are going to roll over the hill one day and save us all. They go, hey, come on, Rocco, the name of the dog. And then they drive away, and the dog's running behind them. Put the dog in the truck.
No, he's fit.
Put the dog in the truck.
No, I saw that dog eat a lot during that movie, so he must be really fit.
Maybe he ate took nothing. Some of those magic pills.
He probably took the pills. He ate nothing. I saw them feed him not once.
No.
Animal abuse.
Anyhow, too many holes in that movie. But it was very fun over the past few days to just like in a very... in a very serious moment, I'll just be looking at Hannah. I'll be like, nom, 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 nom.
God.
So that's that.
Potholes like Swiss cheese.
Oh my God. That was a Swiss cheese of a movie. I'll tell you that much. Any closing thoughts before we get out of here? Or before we get into our Nick Cage awards?
I could really go for some lentils.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. All right, Hen, Nick Cage Awards. We're going to start with Best Supporting Actor.
Nerdson.
Nerdson was good. Defending Jacob.
Yeah. It.
Best Dressed? I think he's just wearing a really generic outfit the whole movie.
Yeah, I guess when he's blown himself up and he looks...
Oh, and he's all, yeah.
And then tattered. He takes the adrenaline pills.
Yeah.
And can, you know,
it's
fight
like a
again.
Video game power up or something because he was able to just like punch them before they could nah, 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 get to him.
And didn't they like form their trapeze wheel again at the end?
Yeah, I think as they were like barreling down the hallway to try to get to Nick Cage, who was defending the kids in the room and the door. I don't know.
They can't move in a more efficient way.
I guess that's just evolutionarily how these creatures figured it out.
It's a real, like, what are those monkeys called that, like, link to each other? A
barrel of monkeys?
It's
a real barrel of monkeys situation. Yeah. No, it's like when you get your acrobats together.
You know.
That's my reference. All right, Hen, worst Nick Cage scene. There are a few throwaways.
Can you give me some examples?
A throwaway Nick Cage scenes would be him just sitting by the waterfall puffing a cigar.
No, I like that one.
Maybe where they're digging something up and he just goes, there it is.
No, that was silly. I don't know why he did that.
Yeah, I don't know why he did that. That's what I'm saying.
It's not a throwaway.
How about any of the scenes where he's just in a coma?
Yeah. Easy.
Easy. All right, good. Okay. Best.
The worst Nick Cage scenes are the scenes that he's nearly dead in.
He sure does know how to act like he's in a coma. Best Nicolas Cage scene. What do you got?
Maybe.
You got the one in the beginning where he's running. You've got the dinner scene where they're defending the house. You've got him in the cave. You've got him in a coma.
Yeah, him in the cave.
And then you've got him at the end.
The cave was a good scene.
Cave scene. Yeah. Cool. Best Nick Cage scream. You're late. Hey, stop. There it is. Thomas, are you down there? How'd you get down there? I'll find a way in. Stay back against the wall. Stay back. Go back.
Yeah, that.
The last one. When they're in the cave. The cave again.
Cave.
Perfect.
The caves won't save you.
Yeah, the caves won't save you. And finally, Han, the most quintessential Nick Cage moment of the movie or pre-production, the most nouveau shamanic moment.
Lentils.
Nothing to do with the movie. I thought you were going to say, bite. Bite.
Sure. Yeah. Or there it is.
There it is. What? There is what? What are you digging up? That's not really him. That's just the directing and the.
Maybe him running because it didn't need to be him. Or maybe him being in isolation with his family for 3 months.
Yeah, that's a good one too. I'll give it a tie between that and the
I don't
lentils.
Know if that's true, but if yeah. It is, then I'll give it to that.
Yeah, bonkers. Well, Han, I think that's going to do it for
what's
the
next?
Bulk.
What's oh, next sorry. Is you we have to rank we have to rank it. Yeah, sorry. So I don't want to get ahead of myself
this
here.
This is his 112th movie.
Oh my God.
Give me a, you want to give me a number 1 to 112 where you think it might fall.
Where do we
scale?
Rank A Quiet Place on this list?
Do you want to give me the name of a movie I can search and then.
Knowing. Because the caves won't save you.
Oh, that is almost right smack dab in the middle at number 53.
I think it's better than Knowing.
Okay. So better would be above Knowing would be Wind Talkers.
Better.
Bangkok Dangerous.
Better.
Lord of War.
No.
Between Lord of War and Bangkok Dangerous.
Sure. Is that like 50?
That is 51.
Cool.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, you know, the acting is really good. The kids are really good. Nick Cage, for what he does, is pretty good in this.
It's just the Muppet situation.
And the plot holes. The plot holes and the Muppets.
Plot holes left and right. Too many Muppets.
Too many Muppets. I really wish I saved. I said in the car on the way home, I was like, were they Muppets? And that had you dying laughing. I kind of wish I saved that for this. But here we are. Well, Han, you know what's next.
I like that. It's just like, not puppets, but monster puppets. That's what that means.
Is that what that means?
Monster puppets.
Monster puppets are Muppets?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense. So, you know what's next. I know what's next. Long Legs is coming up.
Oh, is that it?
Should be in July. No. There is another movie that says maybe coming out soon, but I don't know anything about it. There's no trailers or anything. It's a movie called The Surfer. So that's that's coming out sometime soon.
I remember reading a little bit about it.
Okay.
He surfs. As expected.
That makes
He's
sense.
He's a surf, S-E-R-F.
He's a surf who surfs. So, Han, that's going to do it for me. Anything else you'd like to add before we close it out?
And just know, we will always be here for you through Nick and Thin.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care.